we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Good afternoon, and thanks for being here today at America Out Loud Pulse. This is your Tuesday afternoon show with Dr. Jordan Vaughn and Dr. Stuart Tankersley. We are here to look at some reasonable analysis of our COVID response. I think there's actually a fairly good article in the Dispatch this week that really kind of caught my eye. It was by a lady named Virginia Hume, and it talks about our failed COVID response. And I think it does a fairly good job of looking at everything that we've done in the last 2 years and questioning how this even was, first of all, put out as a smart thing to do. Second, was it even typical of how our responses have been in the past? And third, how did we get it so wrong? So I'll ask Stuart. Stuart, how did we get this so wrong?
Right. I think there are many reasons for it. And as we've discussed a few times before, I think it has to revolve around the understanding of hubris and the lack of freedom that we are stuck in. But I don't see how anyone could argue the point that we have been successful by any measure in the United States of America 2022 in regards to our response to COVID. I would think that those on the side of on the rosy glasses side are enthralled with the concept that we developed a vaccine and put it out to the use for hundreds of millions and billions of people on the planet. And that endeavor is superior to the landing of the man on the moon, as has been told to me multiple times. Now, let's back up for a minute. So if the landing of the moon, which was a truly heroic and milestone achievement, what was the downside of that? I'm not so sure that someone could put much of a blame on that or find error or fault with that.
It would be a small group of people that knew what they were getting into, probably. Very informed people that were writing on the spaceship, I think, would be the locus of people that might be harmed in that endeavor.
Right. But the success for our country and culture was and is profound. Now let's take a step back of where we are now, 2 years plus later. We have more people dying in the first 10 months of 2021 than we did the last 10 months of 2020. We have a vaccine that's killing at minimum tens of thousands of Americans with over a million injuries from it. Within 2 months, more people had died from this vaccine than the other 70 plus that have been given over the last 30 years combined. We have no real, up until the last few months, we've had no significant, according to them, no significant pre-hospital treatments available, despite the overwhelming evidence around the world that there are treatments that are available that are very cheap. We have sold our soul to the medical industrial complex without equivocation. I'm sorry they're blind to it, and I would just encourage them to, I don't know if you want to use the word repent or just stop and take account of the undeniable, unmitigated failures that their policies that we're going to talk about today, that their policies and actions have led to.
Yeah, I think this article has a great quote from some Rutgers professors that say the discourse was fostered by an elite culture whose overconfidence led to undermining open discussion in a vain attempt to prove that complex questions could only have one universal and immutable answer. And therefore, the overselling of their policy led them to religious-like zeal and dogmatism about particular interventions. And that faith in COVID policies was so entrenched Lack of compliance was the only conceivable explanation for our failure to crush the virus. A constant refrain was, the only reason X doesn't work is because people won't Y. That's not true as it happens, but even if it were, only two words in that sentence matter. Doesn't work. Those tweets might as well have said X is the wrong intervention. Why? Because people won't do it. It really is that simple. I think that's
It's a failure of fundamentally understanding human nature. They clearly define that that is a problem, and then they ignore it from the point.
And I think as a physician, I will tell you that one of the, you know, there's a lot of things I can tell a patient to do. And this is just at the individual level. And at the individual level, if that patient already told me that they will not do it, the likelihood of me continuing to discuss this option after at least, you know, presenting it is very low, because it is at that point a waste of precious resources, also known as physicians' time and their time. And I think that's one of the things that public health in the past had always understand, that they their interventions must work in the world as it exists, not in some utopia, not in some perfect, you know, ivory-towered palace. It has to work in the world that we live in. And the problem is maybe these people live in a different world than us. And in some ways you could say that they are. They are put out in a very different environment where their, you know, salaries are guaranteed and they have, you know, the ability to do this and not do that. But most people don't. And here's the other thing. Most people, their needs, their children, their well-being trump fighting for some nebulous public health concept that somebody on TV tells them to do.
Unless the people that are in charge are convinced that the people that they are in charge of, which I think is their view, they can badger them and make them afraid and fearful, so that then they will shut up and the people in charge will be able to at least seem to get their way. It is just amazing how easy it is to see they simply don't understand human nature, even though they're, and this is what we're getting into today, even though their fundamental principles of ethics require them to appreciate
that. Yeah, and that's the other thing about public health policy is not only does it have to operate in the world as it exists, it also has to realize that what they purport works usually needs to be rigorously tested and proven viable, because if the actual evidence that this works is undermined, people start to lose their faith and trust in the people promulgating these solutions. And here's the other thing is, I was just assuming that, let's say the solutions did work. And I mean, we know 2 years later that the solutions they offered were less than viable. And not only that, less than rigorously tested. But let's assume that they were. If those solutions, again, aren't even able for anybody to implement them, basically people say, no, I'm not going to do that, then the solution itself is the problem as well. So again, you have solutions, whether they work or not, but then you have to implement them. And the problem is first, you got to prove that they work. Second, if by getting them to work, you do something that no one's going to do, then the solution doesn't work either. And I think that's the problem, is not only.
Well, there's no better evidence of that than, and we hope and pray that he does well, than the fact that our state health officer has been sickened by COVID. And even though, despite being heavily vaccinated, and he's not with, you know, he is unable to go to work this week. Hopefully that changes and, we wish him the best and hope he recovers. But if their policies were so effective, the top guy in the state, you would hope, would not be threatened by a virus that has less than a 1% infectious fatality rate.
Yeah, I mean.
And by the way.
I think the New York Times, their article a couple months ago that said, this was the title of the article, "Do COVID restrictions work? ? Yes. But the subtitle says, but they didn't make much of a difference. Okay. Now, I mean, that if I've ever seen doublespeak, that is doublespeak. Okay. So
I ain't saying, yeah, but I'm
exactly.
saying.
It's a, you know, do mask work? Yes. But only when no air is exchanged from the mouth, also known as incompatible with life. You are right. You cannot spread a respiratory virus if there, if the mask is, doesn't allow you to breathe. So that's true. Again, it's an interesting, take on things, but I would say that's, again, shows you how the elites literally cannot give up. I mean, they think in their perfect world and their, I guess, laboratory based, you know, interaction of humans that, you know, they think exist, that these things still work. And
yeah, I think the fundamental, and people really need to understand this. When I was invited, when I was appointed by the governor on the vaccine working group in October of 20, with the invitation came a 75-page CDC playbook. In that playbook, there was no plan to engage the physicians, but really very strongly important, primary importance in the plan succeeding was that the media be utilized to the fullest extent at every level. And when you back up and say, now, what does that mean? And then you read about what the Trusted News Initiative is. Back on December the 10th, less than 2 weeks before the rollout of the vaccine, the Trusted News Initiative, AP, BBC, AP Europe, Microsoft, Twitter, all these huge platforms, over two dozen platforms, major international media platforms, proclaim loud and proud, we will protect the vaccine. There was no going back on this. They were going all in on the vaccine for whatever reasons. They clearly don't make sense now, but for whatever reasons, they were going full tilt for the vaccines, and they were going to, and they still do. They are very well entrenched, as everybody understands, hopefully by now. There is no second guessing the effectiveness of the vaccines that have been an epic failure. Epic failure.
Yeah.
It is so far removed, it is the opposite of the moon landing in achievement.
And I think that, you know, that article sums it up. Just invert the word vaccine. Do vaccines work? You know, and the New York Times would say yes, but then they would have the subtitle, but they don't work really that well and they hurt people. So again, yeah. it's again, they still have to hold on to that top line narrative. And that the problem is that's not science.
Yeah. And the primary goal of any vaccine campaign, as Dr. Harris said in the initial statements of that working group, there is one goal of a vaccine, and that is to further herd immunity. That is the number one, only singular, long-term, overarching strategic goal. When did we hear about herd immunity? Herd immunity doesn't count anymore with this virus. Everything is all the science we knew before 2020 regarding immunology and pandemic responses went out the window, and now we're stuck with the insanity that we are still in.
Yeah, and this article also makes the comparison between that 2009 H1N1, where most of, again, I'm not a big fan of administrative medicine at all, but at least the administrative organizations were left to themselves. They weren't all getting together as the politicians demanded a solution, which is never a good way to do medicine. The politician says, we need a solution now and we needed it yesterday. That probably is going to make the product that is produced for that solution probably not the best tested or safest item to be put out and given to the masses. But it's the fact that at least at that time, and I think that goes back to why this whole thing probably was an opportunity for a certain subset of elites to dispose of a certain presidential candidate, was how quickly the CDC and NIH brought their plan, a plan that isn't what they had ever recommended in the their existence, because they have plans. I mean, they have plans on the bookshelf on what to do. And none of those plans include mandates or coercions or shutdowns. But instead, they brought a playbook that was written, I guess, by a non-health professional, because it goes against every bit of the code of ethics of the American Association of Public Health Professionals. But they brought a playbook of coercion, of vaccine only, of rejecting historical science, of destroying people's lives. And heck, on top of that, they said, hey, you know what the best way to stop transmission is? Let's hurt kids. Let's make the kids. Right. I mean, in medicine, we have always looked at kids as being the, I mean, we would never do anything to children for the benefit of adults. I mean, sometimes in medicine, we do things to adults to help children. And that, again, is because the adult is able to see what's happening, be informed about why he's doing it, and usually makes the decision that if this, you know, helps my kid, I will participate after, you know, viewing the risk and the benefits. But in this one, the burden was put on children. It was put on the blue collar worker to really take the brunt of all the decisions the elite did with their fear and protection.
Right, 100%. And so every week we're tracking how we are doing according to Johns Hopkins website on mortality rate. For those who haven't joined us before, America is failing in epic ways in this response, to the point that of 185 countries, we remain in the bottom 20, or unfortunately the top 20 in regards to the high mortality rate that we have here in the United States. Where are we this week, Jordan?
I think,
are we still in the bottom 20?
I think we continue to jockey with the economic and health powerhouse of Chile.
Okay, so Chile is ahead of us now this week. Okay, or fortunately for them, behind us in regards to mortality rate. That's deaths per 100,000.
Yes.
And I don't think there's any clear evidence that no one can deny the untenable, it should be untenable failures that our government at every level, Republican and Democrat, have failed us.
100%. And
Jordan, I'm excited that you get to interview, that we're going to start introducing new people to come on the Pulse with us. And I'm looking forward to hearing your and Dr. Sherry Johnson's interview coming up next segment.
That is correct. Dr. Sherry Johnson will be joining us. She is fantastic in terms of practical ways to address kind of beefing up your immune system. And not only that, a lot of the post-COVID symptoms and how they relate to the adrenal gland and certain things that you can actually do to help not only to get ready for COVID if you haven't had it, but also post-COVID to make sure that your immune system is in the best health to continue to fight disease. As I always say, we're going to live in a world of pathogens until the moon.
There are microbes in the air and they're in your house, and the Genesis Fogger is the solution. This is a mobile fogger that uses a unique technology to give a non-toxic dry mist to cleanse the air and cleanse your rooms of microbes, whether they be bacterial, fungal, or viral, including SARS-CoV-2, COVID-19. So go to the Genesis Fogger website and use the promo code OUTLOUD for a discount on your purchase of the model, and get going with a cleaner house, as there could be more microbes on the way. We're concerned about not only the current pandemic, but future ones. So let's get real, let's get loud. On America Out Loud Talk Radio, this is the McCullough Report.
In today's world, there's no escaping the headlines filled with warnings about emerging viruses and dangerous superbugs. Genesis is the only technology that safely and effectively obliterates harmful pathogens both in the air and on surfaces. Genesis plus HOCl neutralize these threats to your environment in just seconds. Find out more about this amazing technology at genesisfolger.com/outloud for a 15% discount. With Genesis, you'll be prepared for what's next.
We are back. Again, this is Dr. Stuart Tankersley and Dr. Jordan Vaughn. We are here today with an interview of somebody that me and Dr. Tankersley know well, who has been part of our group here with Concerned Doctors in the Alabama area, specifically for her, the Birmingham area. This is Dr. Sherry Johnson, and we are excited to have her here today to talk about some of the things that she has an interest in, not only in regards to just health in general, but how those things are important when we're talking about COVID as well as post-COVID type symptoms. So, Sherry, thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Sherry, first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself and kind of your background, and we'll kind of go from there.
Yeah, so I'm a chiropractor. I'm an acupuncturist, and I'm certified in functional medicine. I actually come from a family of chiropractors. My dad also did acupuncture, so I kind of grew up in a very holistic household. No offense to medical, we didn't receive a lot of medical treatments. We treated things usually naturally, nutritionally. My whole life I've learned about herbs and nutrition and how the body works. And so you would think that I would have followed the direction as my family, but I didn't. I went to Samford and decided to get a teaching degree, and I realized that wasn't the direction I wanted to go. And then I went and worked on my master's in audiology, speech pathology, and decided that wasn't the route I wanted to go. So guess what? I went to chiropractic route. So what I grew up in. So I'm back to what my family does. And so I look at COVID from a different point of view. When I heard about it, I got really interested to learn what it was about. And I took about 160 hours in webinar classes, okay, learning about what COVID is, what they found for treatment. So I kind of followed all the studies throughout this whole, I can't believe it's about 2 years now. And so I've had a little tricks. And one of the things that I was going to talk to you guys about that I learned from the very, very beginning is that COVID seemed to always attack these three particular glands called the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the adrenals. And that's kind of what I really focused on in my practice for people who were afraid of getting it and how to prevent getting it. And if they got it, what did they need to do naturally? If they couldn't get, you know, like ivermectin or anything else. And then I started noticing people having post-COVID symptoms. And as I studied more, I realized the things that maybe made you more susceptible to COVID, these three particular glands, are also what were already deficient. And that's why you're having post-COVID symptoms, or what we like to call as long haulers. So that's a little bit, I know.
One thing we've learned actually during the last 2 years, and I think it's probably, at least in the allopathic medicine world, we would probably call it the skeleton in the closet of medical school, is probably nutrition and supplements and those kind of things in terms of a health, you know, whether it's the immune system being able to fight disease. So it's pretty evident now over the last 2 years that a lot of these things that have been taken for granted are actually super important in your ability for your body to really heal itself and attack disease, but also important following disease because they become deficient. So I'm excited to hear about them. So tell us a little bit about the hypothalamus, pituitary, and adrenal axis and those glands. And then tell us a little bit about how that relates to a lot of the symptoms a lot of, I think, our listeners might be experiencing either post-COVID or post-vaccine, all of the above.
Yeah, so I'm going to start really simple. I'm going to try to dumb it down, because the last time someone probably took an anatomy and physiology class was in high school. So we're going to start with the hypothalamus. And I'm going to let everybody know from this point on, we'll probably call it the HPA. Just, you know, that's the shortened version of it, the HPA axis. But the hypothalamus is a gland, and these are all three glands, and it's located in the brain. And when I tell my patients about these three glands, I try to break it down and explain it almost like a corporation. Almost everybody works for a business. So the hypothalamus is going to be like the president of the company, the owner, all right? So it's going to be the one that wants everything to run perfectly. It's going to know what's going on with the business. It's going to go know what's going on with the body. And then what it does is it's going to direct the instructions to a manager. And you know what a manager does. A manager goes around to each department and says, I want you to do this and I want you to do that. Don't do this and do that. And it kind of regulates all the departments in the company. And that manager in our body is called the pituitary gland, right? And that gland is also in the brain next to that hypothalamus behind our nose. And there's something called a cribriform plate that it's behind. And this is what we always call the master gland. Because in reality, who are you going to report to? Not the owner. You're going to report to your manager if you have a problem, right? So the pituitary gland is really important because it talks to all the glands in your body. And all the glands in your body really are what producing hormones. And one thing I do have to get through my patient's head is when I say hormones, immediately, they're always going to think of the sex hormones, right? When you say hormones, immediately you're going to think of estrogen, progesterone, testosterone, but there's other hormones. There's, you know, thyroid hormone. There's the adrenal glands produce like cortisol. There's tons of other hormones. And so that's what the pituitary gland does, is it tells all these hormones how much to produce, where to produce it, what are you using it for? So that's what it's doing. And then we have what we call the adrenal glands. Now, these are glands about the size of maybe a walnut, and they sit on top of your kidneys. And if you're not aware, most people are, you do have two kidneys, so you have two adrenal glands. And those are really unique glands that I don't think we look at, but they control a lot of things. They actually, most people don't realize that, but they do produce some estrogen. So they control your sugar. They produce cortisol. They're what I refer to as your flight and fight glands. So like when you get anxious, or that's the gland that surges I use the example of the baby cot underneath the car and the mama can pick the car up. That's the gland that does that. That's also your stress gland. All right. So what they noticed is all three glands. Do you remember at the very beginning of COVID, and most lay people, some of them remember, some of them don't, but at the very beginning, we always talked about ACE2 receptor enzymes.
Yes. Okay.
If you don't remember that, that was the big thing, that it was attacking the ACE2 receptor enzymes. Well, those three glands have ACE2 receptor enzymes. So what they had noticed is that actually they believe COVID was possibly passing through the nose and affecting the pituitary gland, which that's your manager. And therefore, your manager is not making sense. It's not communicating to the rest of your hormones. But it was also attacking your adrenal glands. Those are the glands that sit on top of your kidneys. And that affects your blood sugar level. That would affect why you're fatigued all the time. A lot of times when people say, I'm tired all the time, especially after COVID, it's because your adrenal glands are weak, because that COVID attacked it. Now, what we did find in several studies is that the people who were more susceptible to getting COVID already had these weak glands. As in other words, you're not feeding them. You're not providing the nutrition that you need them. So does that make sense?
I think so. And then when you think about it from the context of how we even treat COVID, I mean, a lot of times one of the first things that we looked at that would help was supplementing corticosteroids, which is basically getting the adrenal gland, or basically exogenously, or, you know, the actual patient taking steroids and in many ways, probably because their adrenal gland itself wasn't making enough to make a difference in terms of this overwhelming inflammatory response. So I think it makes
That's
a lot
correct.
Of sense.
Yeah. So I try to tell my patients, if you can't figure out, like, why did everybody in my family get it, but I didn't get it? You know, that was the big thing. We were trying to say that you could pass it along. And as we started studying it, we realized, well, that's why you didn't get it. Your glands, your body, your immune system was supported. And these people are not. But maybe later down the road, you had the stress of taking care of your whole family. And then maybe that stress, you know, stressed out your adrenal glands and you weren't eating good because you were busy taking care of your family that was sick. And then all of a sudden, maybe a month later, you got it. Does that kind of make more sense to people?
Yeah, I think it all goes to the fact that being ready to respond, making sure your body is there. Because again, I always tell people we live in a world of pathogens, and you're going to be daily confronted with pathogens. And the more likely you are to mount a good response, and that includes good nutrition and having all the things that your body has in store to fight, making sure they're primed and ready to go, I think is what you're saying.
That's it. If you, and we're more about preventing you from getting viruses or bacterias. I mean, you know, since the beginning of time, that's what we are. We're always exposed to these things. So if you, you know, the old saying, an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure, is completely true. And today in our Western society, our diet is horrible. I mean, we eat way too much processed food. You know, a lot of the nutrients are taking out of the food. I don't know if most people know this, but they actually literally take good food and they pull all the nutrients out, and then they put fake nutrients, I call it fake nutrients, back into it. So, you know, I usually tell my patients, you know, the first line of defense is just eating whole, healthy, organic food, and keep it as your diet. Stay away from anything boxed, stay away from anything canned, stay away from anything processed. And, you know, there's one step of keeping yourself well. So, because also food has every single vitamin that you need that works. And the word I'm using is synergistically. They work as a team. So instead of pulling out just vitamin D, we want to eat foods that contain, cod liver oil is one of the best, because not only does it have the omegas as the vitamin D, and it has the vitamin A, they work synergistically together. So
tell me a little bit in terms of when these things are having dysfunction, especially the adrenal gland, tell me, and in the context of COVID, tell me what kind of symptoms people might relate to that.
Okay. The most common that I hear, and this is brain fog. I just can't get my brain. I can't get words together. Fatigue. That was also the most common. Funny enough, hair loss. And you will hear hair loss post-COVID quite frequently.
Yeah, I've heard it from the women in my practice like crazy. It's like,
yeah. And let me tell you why you're going to hear it more in women than men, because women are the most high stressed individuals. All right. Also, what did I say too? I said the adrenals also produce a little bit of estrogen, and a lot of women, which I really do not want to go down the hormone women path, but have estrogen problems, as in estrogen dominance issues.
Yeah.
Okay. And so a lot of those that already had this, that maybe didn't know they had this, those are the ones that usually are going to have the hair loss, because your adrenals were already kaput anyway. So so we want to rebuild those. What was the other thing? We were talking about things that were symptoms. Insulin problems. I had a lot of people start saying that they're having not diabetes, not hypoglycemic, but there are some new conditions that you may or may not have heard of, but called metabolic syndrome or insulin resistance.
Yeah. And actually the interesting thing is I've had a lot of people in the midst of COVID or post-COVID be, I mean, on their A1C all of a sudden have a significant change.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times that does recover, but it's interesting that the disease itself causes such changes to the sugar, in terms of the sugar homeostasis. I mean, keeping it low is kind of off the charts comparatively. And people get worried, especially your diabetics who are checking their sugar all the time. All Bingo. Of a sudden you go, what's wrong with me?
Mm-hmm. And that's part of the adrenal gland. So we're always looking at pancreas. But one of the things I tell my patients, I love the pancreas. I actually study it a little bit more than most, because it's not just an organ, it's a gland as well. And the adrenal and the pancreas, I love using kind of TV analogies. I always say they're like the Gilligan and the Skipper. They kind of hang out with each other and work with each other. And that's that cortisol that the adrenals are affecting that insulin. So when the adrenals are weak and they've been damaged, it's going to affect that pancreas. And if you already have kind of a sluggish pancreas anyway, now you're really going to have some insulin resistance issues. So sometimes we want to support the pancreas as well as really support the adrenal glands. So because we do know in several studies, COVID has almost obliterated the adrenal glands. And they've done some studies where they actually took post-COVID death, you know, autopsies, okay? And they found that the adrenal glands were completely destroyed. And so that's how they've gotten to this theory.
So tell me a little bit, given the context of that, what kind of things on in the nutritional supplemental herb area support the adrenal health? And, you know, not only the other question would be, are they good to take all the time or are they good just to take in the context of COVID?
Yeah, so there's a couple simple things that are safe that I think are safe. Let me go more the Chinese route. So on the Chinese route, because I do acupuncture and I state Eastern medicine and herbs, licorice root is used quite frequently, all right? It's used in almost all their formulas. And that's because licorice root does so many things. And one of the things is licorice root was an antiviral. And they actually have several studies that posted if you had licorice root, it prevented COVID. So let me tell you why, not just because it's antiviral, but the licorice root actually supports the adrenal glands. So not only is it antiviral, but it supports the adrenal glands. So a lot of times at the very, very beginning when my patients had post-COVID, okay, so they already had COVID and they're like, I'm fatigued, I'm just tired, I just can't get my energy. What's the first thing we all think of? Thyroid.
Yeah.
We do. But I knew because it was after COVID, I would say, all right, let's really focus on the adrenal glands. I'm not quite sure if that's what it is. There's a couple tests that you can do. You can do saliva test. There's several tests you can do. But I said, why don't we go simple? You can go to a local grocery store and I want you to just get licorice root tea. Nothing else with it. Sometimes you can find teas that say licorice root. Look at the back and it's got all these other herbs. I don't want anything else with it except for possibly peppermint for flavoring. And licorice root tea is very sweet, by the way. It's like black licorice root or black licorice, remember? Not the red stuff.
I always think of licorice as what my grandmother used to have in her candy cabinet.
But yeah, I'm not
sure I ever liked it. But, you know, meaning, yeah, I thought it was Twizzlers, but it wasn't.
No, so. Don't get those. It's the black stuff. But I think it's sweet. It's great for children, by the way. It's great for a calmer and a relaxer. But I would say simply just drink 3 to 4 cups at night. And I'm going to explain why. Because the adrenal glands usually repair between 1 and 3 a.m. I know that sounds strange, but I always tell people, if you want to know for a fact if you have adrenal issues, if you have a tendency to wake up between 1 and 3 a.m. and then slowly after 3, about 3:30, 4 o'clock, you can go back to sleep, typically you have an adrenal issue. Okay, so when I tell these people to start drinking about 3 or 4 cups of licorice tea, because tea is about the safest, it's the minimal amount of an herb. You're not taking it at high doses. Majority of them come back and say, I had the best sleep ever. I felt really good. Now, this is not a medicinal pill. So I always tell people, when you take something natural or herbal or supplement, it takes about 3 to 5 days for it to really get in your system and notice something. But usually they'll notice something the first night that they're sleeping better. So that's one of my favorites. And just because we use it a lot in Eastern medicine tonics.
Now the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
If you're like me, you'd like life to return to some kind of normal. You're burned out on the precautions, but deep down, you still want to avoid getting sick. You've heard it talked about time and again by respected medical professionals. Use a povidone iodine antiviral nasal spray. Made in the USA, Cofix RX reduces viral loads and minimizes the risk of you getting sick. Find a retailer near you or click our banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep can be infuriating. Your mind races. You toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's digital age makes it even harder. You're not alone with this struggle. Poor sleep affects over 70% of Americans. Even the Centers for Disease Control label insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. To take back your sleep, HealthyCell has created REM Sleep, the only sleep supplement made to support all four stages of human sleep with calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Delivered in a patent-pending, pill-free, ultra-absorption microgel formula that tastes great. Fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deeply, and wake up refreshed with Healthy Cell's REM sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order. That's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Now, something super duper simple that you can get that is not toxic to the body is calcium lactate. And I'm going to tell you why calcium, and this is specifically for the adrenals. Again, these people who have trouble sleeping, if I give them high doses of calcium at night only, they too will come back and say, that is the best night's sleep ever. I'm going to explain something. The adrenal glands need calcium to support. And if you're not aware of this also, children who have fevers, if you give them calcium, it actually will lower their fevers. But I need it in the form of a lactate form. So you can't just go run to the supplement store and just grab calcium. Most people don't understand that calcium and magnesium, they all have different forms. You may see a citrate or a stearate or a malate or a glycinate. Each one does something different in the body, but a lactate is easy. And I had a nurse practitioner that was scared about it because she had adrenal deficiency and I recommended it to her and she was worried about kidney stones. But a lactate form won't cause that. So, but also, I'm going to give some people a trick. If you noticed before COVID or after COVID, and you started getting restless legs at night, what the body does is, and remember I said the adrenals will start to repair and they start highly functioning during that 1 to 3, but it needs calcium to kind of calm it down and work. Well, if it doesn't have enough calcium in the body, is going to rob it from the body, from the least important part. You need your heart, right? You need your lungs. You need your brain so you can survive, but you sure don't need any muscles. So it'll start pulling your calcium out of your muscles. And that's how you're starting to get muscle spasms, restless legs.
Muscle fatigue is part of that too. When your muscles aren't, adequately. Again, we're basically electrical systems and ion channels.
That's right.
So when you're one of those things is off, they're not going to operate as efficiently or effectively. So yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It's just simple stuff like that. So these are easy things you can get. These things are not difficult. Like I said, a lot of times you can find them at your local grocery stores, especially if they have like a vitamin section or an herbal section. Whole Foods, Sprouts, things like that. Those are what I usually do at the very, very beginning to support adrenals that seem to be the most effective.
How about pituitary-wise?
Ooh, I love the pituitary gland. I always start with adrenals first. I think they're the easiest and it controls so many different processes. But the pituitary, what we want to do is we want to support it with a nutrient called manganese. That's kind of what it likes. And manganese is used in, oh my goodness, manganese supports so many parts of the body. And that one we're going to do by food. Now you can take, again, we're going to go in Eastern medicine. In Eastern medicine, the rule is if something's deficient, you eat it. So in other words, if you have kidney issues, you start eating kidneys. All right. If you have a thymus gland issue, and if you're not aware what a thymus is, it produces your immune system, you eat thymus gland, and that is what they still eat in Europe called sweetbread, if you didn't know it. So sometimes they'll do pituitary supplements, but I usually direct them to do manganese. And that's just eating stuff like mussels, a lot of your seafood stuff, oysters, clams, hazelnuts, pecans, which is big in the South. I'm from Mississippi. We have pecan trees everywhere. Chickpeas and spinach, things like that. That will have manganese. You don't need too much of it. The other thing is, just to let you know, is I also knew if somebody had a pituitary issue due to COVID, is have you ever had anybody have post-COVID headaches?
Yeah, I have.
Constantly complaining of headaches. So these particular headaches, if it's a post-COVID, typically will be like the whole head. You know, it's not just the forehead. It's not the back. It feels like it's inside the whole head, pressure in the whole head. And the closest link I can say is if anybody ever had what I call a weather headache, when bad weather's coming through, they can tell because they get this whole head pressure. All right. That is because the little pituitary gland that's in your brain, it's about the size of a pea, and it's in like this little casing, and it gets inflamed. All right. And when it gets inflamed, it puts pressure. It makes it feel like your whole head's going to blow up. That is where the manganese is from. But what I also found is something, there's these phytochemicals called polyphenols, which also supports the hypothalamus. And for those kind of people with those post-COVID headaches, I found that something called black currant seed oil is a polyphenol. And it has something called gamma linoleic acid. And I actually make my patients, I have a pill, okay, it's a liquid, it's an oil, and I have them chew it because I want, first of all, I want it straight in the head. And then you have all these capillaries underneath your tongue, and that's how nutrients get absorbed into the blood quicker, and it'll go directly into that gland, and the headaches will pretty much go away. And the amount you have to take is the how deficient you are. So, but here's the problem. Somewhere, somebody's selling it as black seed, and black seed oil is different from black currant seed oil, to let y'all know. And black seed oil is black cumin seed, which we are Nigellia stevia, which we've used for COVID. If you haven't seen, that's the new COVID prevention. So try not to get those two confused. I've had patients come back. I'm like, ooh, you got the wrong thing. No wonder that's not working. But the polyphenols are what I really like for the hypothalamus and the pituitary gland. So I'm going to just give you kind of a list of polyphenols. And these are foods that you should have been eating. You should be eating now anyway, just to prevent any other future virus or infections or endocrine disorders or anything of that nature. So broccoli, y'all, that's easy to get. You need to eat broccoli every day. Anything that's a red, blue, or purple berry, blueberries, raspberries, those things, onions, coriander, dill. And then sometimes I tell people, if you're not sure, I call it the Thanksgiving spices. That's thyme, sage, oregano. Oregano is fantastic. It does a lot of things. And if you don't know this, a lot of these herbs I'm listing are also antiviral. So you're killing two birds with one stone.
A lot of them anti-inflammatory as well.
Sure. Rosemary. You can grow rosemary in your backyard. You can grow thyme in your backyard. You can grow sage in your backyard. It's phenomenal. One of my other favorites is parsley. And I'm going to tell you why. Parsley is actually good because it's an anti-parasitic, if you didn't know that. And so it's really simple to give to children if we think they have parasites, because you just kind of grind it up and you eat parsley and, you know, parsley. You can just grind it up. And so is cilantro is also an anti-parasitic. And that's in Mexican food, you know, the little green leaves. Yeah. And that you grind up. So cinnamon.
Well, I think one of the interesting things is a lot of these things we talk about, a lot of people on the allopathic side don't really understand where the source of some of these medicines are. A lot of them are, meaning they're basically plant-based, either ivermectin or rapamycin. A lot of these things come from interesting, you know, algaes or plants that are found in nature. Then we, you know, in the laboratory world, take them and optimize that one little thing we wanted out of them, and then sell it as a medicine. But in general, a lot of these things are, as we talk about, in your diet and in a lot of what, you know, the base source is. So I think it's interesting to kind of use that in a complementary way.
And think about it. I mean, think about how many times you had that plate with that piece of parsley in there and you picked it up and you're like, ugh, and you threw it away.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I remember, I had somebody a long time ago was eating sushi and was making this comment about the ginger is really good for the flavoring and stuff like that. And I said, no, actually the reason they put ginger on there is because ginger kills the parasites. you know, nobody thinks of stuff like that. They're thinking more of the flavoring and this. And I'm thinking, no, there's a reason why they're adding parsley to this plate or ginger to this plate or a certain herb to certain foods. Yeah,
it probably was like that for years. And then it just passed down that that's what you put on the plate. And the person that's now putting it on the plate doesn't realize that that was the original intent. You know, it was
I mean, and I also tell my patients, I'm like, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm trying myself to learn how to cook organ meat and glandular. But, you know, if you think about your mama or your grandmama, you know, what was the most big thing that they had at least once a week on the dinner table, which we don't even, we go, ooh, gross, liver.
Yep.
Liver is the best thing that you can eat because liver is, our liver is the number one detoxer for us. So a lot of these things I tell you, when I tell people to go eat liver, I hear a lot of oohs.
So, yeah.
But you know, these are things that mama used to do, grandma used to do. And now we just kind of poo-poo it or we say it gross, same as the parsley and throw it off the plate or we don't like certain spices. So but anyhow, there's a lot of things that you can eat that can prevent you from getting sick and a lot of things that you can eat that can help repair those glands for people who have post-COVID issues.
Exactly. I think the other interesting thing when I think about licorice root is we know it has obviously effects on the adrenal gland just because historically in medicine, there's, you know, whether it's blood pressure, you know, issues, mm-hmm. somebody who comes in who eats a ton of licorice root, it could be the reason that they have blood pressure issues, which would go along with the adrenal gland being overstimulated, I guess, in that case.
That's right. You can overstimulate it. So sometimes I like to start with teas. It's really hard to drink a lot of herbs versus sometimes I always tell people, don't always go straight to a supplement until a doctor's evaluated you because you may not need it. But if you go to a food, foods are really cool. It'll balance it out.
You're not at risk as much of overdoing it.
That's exactly right. You know, another one that I always say, like a polyphenol that supports that hypothalamus and that pituitary is cinnamon. And if you haven't heard recent, a lot of people are finding out that cinnamon also helps with diabetics.
Yeah, it helps with insulin resistance. I mean, it's part of the, again, goes back to the foods that we have are probably ignored and mm-hmm. substituted with unnatural things might be the cause of a lot of our underlying chronic diseases. I mean, in some ways, I mean, everyone, you know, insulin resistance is also genetic and there's a lot of other causes for it, but there's other ways within nature to help. And actually one of the things people always ask me as an allopathic physician is they go, you know, hey, all right, we're on these, what other things? And so, you know, having that nutritional toolbox is so helpful because again, not only is it cheaper, it's natural. And, you know, the goal is to get off any kind of pharmaceutical thing in the end. I mean, the pharmaceuticals are great, but if we can treat it with a natural supplement or a natural way, whether it's dietary, that's always the best.
Yeah. And I typically tell my patients, so I can't do prescription drugs, but I can do herbal supplement, nutrition, et cetera. And so sometimes once I evaluate them, I figure out what's going on. I start them on supplements and or herbals or whatever I need to use. And I say, look, we do high doses because the best way I can explain it is your gland is like a gas tank and you're a fourth full. And so what's happening is you can only go a half a mile before you got to run to the gas station and refill it, or you're going to destroy. If you're out of gas and you keep running on fumes, what ends up happening? You destroy the engine. Your body, you're going to destroy your body. And I'm going to tell you something. My husband's mechanic and that costs a lot and takes a lot of time to rebuild an engine. So I tell people it costs a lot and it takes a lot to rebuild your body. So what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to use supplements to take that fourth of tank that you're surviving on and fill it full. And so then once it's full, when you start running and you're maybe losing a fourth of that energy, you can refill it with food instead of supplements. That way you don't need to be on it permanently. And that's what we're trying to do is we're trying to help you rebuild your body so that you can live off of a diet instead of having to take something for the rest of your life.
Well, Sherry, this has been great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I've always been somebody who's included a lot of nutrition in my practice.
But even seeing it from an even more, you know, developed perspective is eye-opening and actually probably needs to be added to what I do every day to help my patients, not only from a wellness and health standpoint, but also from recovering from a lot of things that are probably coming their way or didn't have come their way in the last 2 years. So I really appreciated it.
Oh, quite welcome. I hope everybody learned something.
Any particular way, if somebody in the Birmingham area or actually don't even, would want to get in contact with you or develop this further, how they would do that? Is it a website or a number or anything like that?
Yeah, it's a website, and I do functional medicine. I do functional medicine on certain days, and I do it through telemedicine. So that way, if you're not from the area, I found that to be easier. So, my website is cahc.biz, B as in boy, IZ. And typically you can go on there and you can request an appointment, or you can just email me under chiropractichealthal@gmail.com. I do tell people, please be patient. Sometimes it's hard to get to everybody. So,
well, yeah. And then in that case, especially, I mean, you can have a personalized kind of even evaluation of people individually. I think sometimes that's important when we talk about what supplements maybe somebody's deficient in, a dietary inventory and all those kind of things can be important to find out specifically. And I think your knowledge base seems to be vast. So I'm sure.
I'm still learning. It's a lot. I mean, if you think about everything, I tell people all the time, the weeds that are growing in your backyard, you would be surprised what they do to heal you, and you're killing them. So, but anyhow, 90% of your diagnosis is actually just listening to a patient. They're going to tell you. And from that, you can kind of figure out what they're deficient in. So
I would agree. I think at least Harrison, who's a kind of the founder of our kind of medical community here in Birmingham, Tinsley Harrison, always said, if you don't have an idea what's going on after you talk to the patient, go talk to the patient again. So
that's true.
History is important. So, well, I thank you so much. And I will include all that that she just talked about in terms of being ways that you can get in contact with her or, individually do that for the people listening today. We'll include that in the show note. Thank you again, Sherry.